Skeptical mayor comes around. Laurel Park stays home, and Benderson wins downtown core zoning 5-0. By 12:08 p.m. on August 17th, Benderson Development held everything it had asked for at 1660 Ringling Boulevard. The comprehensive plan amendment moving 1 acre from urban edge to downtown core passed 5-0 at 11:38 a.m. The rezone from downtown edge to downtown core passed 5-0 exactly 30 minutes later. Mayor Debbie Trice, on Zoom because she was under the weather, congratulated Vice Mayor Kathy Kelly Ulrich on, quote, running an excellent meeting and having it end before lunch. What did not happen is the story. No one filed for affected party status. No one from Laurel Park, the neighborhood that packed a 2023 workshop and warned the developer its residents were smart, passionate, and loud, walked to the podium. One resident came to endorse the project. One came with a question about traffic. Ulrich noticed. We didn't have anybody come up here and speak against this development project, she said. That's sort of amazing, isn't it? So it's a lesson for all of us to keep in mind. Voted twice, on purpose. Ulrich asked whether the two hearings could be combined. Deputy City Attorney John Shamsie said no. The City Commission has far greater legal discretion in approving or not approving a comp plan amendment, he said. If you for some reason denied the comp plan amendment, your decision is more protected in a legal sense than if you deny a rezone. So the legislative vote went first, alone. Once it passed, the quasi-judicial rezone was close to a formality. Built for 9, stopped at 6. Philip DeMaria, the Kimleyhorn planner representing Benderson, explained how a 6-story tower landed in a 5-story zone. Before 2005, the site was zoned for 180 feet. The Duaney Code cut that, private owners sued, and Sarasota County, which owned the building, did not. This is also the first time that we're recognizing that the existing building exceeds the maximum zoned height for the site, DeMaria said. The building, maybe one of the not-so-pleasant architecturally buildings downtown, has strong bones. The building was structurally designed for 9 stories, DeMaria said, which is why Benderson wants to keep it rather than raze it. He said a survey of downtown Class A office space, using LoopNet and the AI assistant Claude, found vacancy under 5%, and he read the commission a line from its own comprehensive plan. Downtown core is meant to be 75% non-residential. Todd Mathis of Benderson closed with a sentence built for the record. What you have in front of us is our plan, period. That's our entire plan. The neighbor who came to say yes. Howard Davis of Architecture Sarasota, whose mid-century building abuts the site and hosted the 2023 charrette, called the split zoning a mistake in the law that would be called a Scrivener's error. You deal with a lot of difficult issues, he said. I don't think this is one of them. The existing building has not and will not win any architecture awards, he added to laughter. And Benderson has cycled through architects in search of transformative architecture to turn one of the ugly ducklings in Sarasota into a prize. A note in a bottle, Commissioner Jen Ahern Koch, who attended every charrette day, workshop, and planning board hearing, came with conditions. A robust construction staging plan, enhancement of the small city park along Ringling. By active, I don't mean carousels. I mean pathways. Sidewalk gaps on Rawls Avenue and Morrill Street filled, and one that carried the morning's real weight. Benderson's argument is that downtown core should face downtown core. So once we extend that, Ahern Koch said, then the same argument can be made again to the next piece, which is DTE. The 100-foot height step down near Laurel Park's RSM-9 zoning did not reassure her. Always an exception made to the RSM-9. The zoning could change. If you keep making exceptions as we step down, that buffer and transition gets less and less, she said. The decision I'm making is based on your commitment to transition and buffer. That's a major consideration for me. Mathis offered the ordinance preamble as the place to write it down. That's what we're saying we're doing, and we mean it. Shamsie agreed on the spot to draft a whereas clause, so any future commission being asked to tweak something can see the conversation. Ahern Koch knew what she was and was not getting, I don't think we can find them. City Manager Carrie Freiling, dryly, that's something to be aware of. It's sort of shocking, isn't it? Ulrich read the traffic finding aloud. 427 net new trips in the evening peak hour, with no negative impact on level of service. It's sort of shocking though, isn't it? 427 new PM peak trips? It is, said Acting Assistant City Engineer Alex Davis Shaw. Ringling is actually one of our more free-flowing roadways. That's one of the reasons we're able to do the bike boulevard there, because we had additional capacity. The spare capacity that justified the road diet is now, in part, spoken for. The voice from the queue. The loan concern came from Kimberly Colgate, an attorney and real estate broker who lives at the queue condominium on Morrill. Morrill Street from Osprey up to Orange is a one-way street. It is very narrow, and human nature is human nature. The traffic is going to find the easiest way to get to the parking for the Benderson project. She asked for a fresh look at the traffic report and a do-not-enter sign at Pine Place and Morrill. Commissioner Liz Alpert objected to restricting any public right-of-way, unless the people who want it to be private want to take it over and maintain it. Ahern Koch asked Benderson to reach out to Colgate. Mathis, absolutely. He also argued the city's peak hour model misreads his tenants. We are not going to be a 9-to-5 building, because that is not the reality of Class A office space today. The 10-story question at high noon. At 11:59 a.m., Ahern Koch asked city planner Camden Jenkins to explain the planning board's proffer barring residential use. It applies, Jenkins confirmed, only to the footprint of the existing building. The parking lot west of it, inside the new downtown core line, is untouched. That other portion could be residential, and it could be 10 stories, Ahern Koch said. Yes, Mathis said. Benderson had insisted the proffer stop at the building's edge, because we don't know what the future of that land where there is no building would be. Not the intent today, he said. But the door is open, and the commission voted knowing it. A skeptical mayor comes around. I usually have reservations about changes when we don't have a site plan, and also a comprehensive plan amendment, when we're still waiting for the downtown master plan revision, Trice said. What overrode them was the room. The silence from the very vocal Laurel Park neighborhood today confirms that they appear to be happy with the project as amended. She called herself skeptical of the demand for more office space post-COVID, but as expected, Benderson's team did their homework and said Class A office is certainly going to be an improvement over the current eyesore. Ahern Koch, moving the amendment, said, This is a rare occasion for me to make such a motion for a land use change. It is the biggest decision we make. Benderson's handling of Laurel Park wasn't avoided. It wasn't worked around. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't sugarcoated. Commissioner Kyle Scott Batty said the company did a tremendous job. Alpert, ditto. What Sarasota just decided. Monday settled the question the late County Commissioner Nancy Duterte raised in 2021 when she predicted the buyer of the $25 million building would reap far more once it was rezoned. The rezoning is done. The county was not in the room. It settled that downtown's most conspicuous vacant building goes up, not down, at a moment when the city is fighting demolitions elsewhere. It settled that Ahern Koch's buffer lives in a whereas clause rather than a covenant. And it's settled that the public's binding say is over. The site plan, staging, parking, and the tower's design will all be approved by staff. What it did not settle is what it never has. The lots across Morrill Street and the western lot inside the new line, where 10 residential stories are now legally possible. Laurel Park stayed home because the request stopped at 1 acre. That silence was a form of trust. Benderson now holds it, along with the zoning. What's next? The comp plan amendment, a small-scale amendment adopted in a single reading, takes effect 31 days after adoption unless challenged. The rezone ordinance is expected to return for second reading, with a new whereas clause and the sidewalk proffer folded in. From there, Benderson moves to an administrative site plan, a circulation-focused traffic study and permits. The commission's next look at this block comes only if Benderson asks to change what it agreed to Monday. On the evidence of the last 3 years, the company has learned exactly how to ask.